Well, thank you for being here this morning. Hebrews chapter 12 is where we are continuing this morning. Hebrews chapter 12, and we are looking at verses 13 to 14. So I trust you have a lesson handout. If you do need a pen, we do have some spare pens at the entrance if you need one on the table. And of course, I'll let you know when the blanks come up. But we're continuing to look at our series on living with Christ in the school of faith. And so our focus is the understanding in Hebrews chapter 12 of the school of faith that God has put us into. He's given a list of graduates to us in Hebrews 11 that the Bible says in the very last verse of chapter 11, they all graduated with a good report. Now, how many of you would like to graduate with a good report? We all do, no doubt. But Hebrews 12 tells us how we need to do that. We've been, of course, looking at the forgotten subject of God's chastening. And I hope by now we understand a little bit more how the Lord chooses to educate us. You know, so often we think only the blessings of God help us to learn and to grow. But God tells us in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 5 that it's also the chastening of God. More importantly, the training, the educating of God's chastening in your life and mine must never be forgotten, because that's how He deals with us. Now remember, chastening is not just a direct response of God to a particular sin. At times it is. The word chastening also means to train, to educate. And that is God's plan for our lives, to grow us. And we all have areas of our lives that need work. And God will pinpoint those areas, as we've seen in this term already, to help us to grow. And that is His love. And last week we looked at the path that you and I have been set on. Notice verse number 13. And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Last week we saw we are to remove some obstacles from our path. God says we are to make straight paths for our feet so that you and I will not fall, will not stumble. Now this morning we're going to look at verse 14. In line with verse 13, the Bible says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So the path that God has set for us is a path of holiness. Peace with all men, the Bible says, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Look at verse 10 for a moment. Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible says, for verily after a few days, that is our parents in the flesh, chastened us after their own pleasure, for their own profit. But He, that is God, for our profit, that we might be partakers of His, say the next word, holiness. So here we see that God chastens us. Why? Because the goal is to make us holy, to make us to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. The process is chastening. I hope we understand that by now. But the goal is holiness. That is God's goal. He wants us to be more holy. He wants us to be more pure in our lives. And that's why He has to deal with us. He has to train us. He has to strengthen those weak areas of our lives. And the Lord wants us to walk upon the path of holiness. So that is our lesson subject this morning, the straight path of holiness. There in your notes, the first blank, Roman numeral number one, the blank is the word path, the path of holiness. The path of holiness. That is God's purpose for you and I. He wants us to walk upon a path. And what is that path called? Well, it's called a path of holiness, Christ-likeness. Now, when we think of holiness, we need to be careful, because naturally, we usually think the wrong thing. You know, normally when we hear the word holy, we don't think of something good. We think of maybe being limited, and maybe we think of a list of do's and don'ts. Some people think of holiness When they think of the word holy, they think of maybe a nun dressed up in a garment from head to toe and everything covered, and a priest wearing a long white robe with no stains on it. And that's what many people think holiness is. But the Bible tells us that holiness is much, much more wonderful than that. Notice 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 14. Why don't we read verse 14 out loud together, shall we? 1 Peter 1, verse 14, under the first blank in your notes. Let's read it together on two. 1, 2. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be holy, for I am holy. Holiness is a joy in our lives. Why? Because God says, Be ye holy, for I am holy. The Lord wants us to be like Him. The Lord wants us to follow His path. He doesn't want us to go down the path of destruction, the former lusts in our ignorance. No, He has a new path set for us. And all God's people said, Amen. That's the path of holiness. We are new creatures in Jesus Christ if we are saved. We have a new life to live. And God reminds us this morning that it's a life of holiness. And God will train us to live holy lives. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Holiness means to be separated from the former lusts that we did in our ignorance. And we are to be separated from our former lusts, and then we are to be separated unto God. Be ye holy, for I am holy. You see, holiness is not just a list of do's and don'ts. It is the Lord separating us from that which was destructive and catastrophic, leading us to hell. And in Christ, once we're saved, He wants us to live a new life following Jesus Christ, separated unto God. And that should be our desire as Christians. To follow Jesus Christ. To become more like Jesus Christ. Well, what do we learn first of all regarding this path of holiness? Notice that it's a lifelong process. There in your notes, notice verse number 14. The Bible says, follow peace with all men and holiness. The word follow means an active pursuit. Now, do you remember the Lord's description of the Christian life in verse number 1? Again, what sport does the Lord compare our Christian life to? A race, exactly. Running a race. Now, remember, we learned it wasn't a race like a 100-meter sprint. Probably the most popular event in the Olympics is the 100-meter sprint. That's not what the Lord is talking about. He's talking about something much longer than that. Who remembers what kind of race? That's right. A marathon. A long distance race. See, when we get saved, we don't wake up the next day and we're instantly holy in our practice. The Bible says when we become a new creature in Jesus Christ, in our position in Christ, we are completely holy. We are righteous. We have His righteousness. That's in our position. But practically, we are to be holy. We are to allow God to help us to grow and to change, to become more like Jesus Christ, to live a holy life. And that's what the Lord is teaching us here in verse number 14. We are to follow that path of holiness. But it is a lifelong process, one step at a time. We need to remember that. One step at a time. You might be here this morning, you might be discouraged, you might say, well, I can't live a holy life. That's not true. If you are in Jesus Christ this morning, then you can. But it is one step at a time. One step of faith at a time. You know, so often we get discouraged when we fail. Isn't that true? So often we allow ourselves to, when we fail, to become more discouraged, and we need to understand that change takes time. But it means you and I have to actively pursue holiness. We need to allow the Lord to pick us back up and say, all right, let's move forward. Let's keep running the race. That's why God says, Don't despise the chastening of the Lord. Because when He deals with us, when He rebukes us, we need to allow Him to do that so that we can walk the path of holiness. We need to allow Him to remove those obstacles along the path. Remember the obstacles last week we looked at. One of those obstacles were the obstacles of other people. People can be obstacles. Carnal Christians, unsaved old friends. God says they need to be removed from our lives. They need to be separated from, or else they're going to continue to cause us to stumble and we can't run the race that is set before us. This morning we're going to look at a few other obstacles, but first of all, follow. Follow holiness. Well, that's a lifelong process. Notice it also takes effort. The word follow also indicates effort. We are to exercise ourselves in this pursuit. Now imagine someone training for an Olympic marathon imagine someone entering the Olympic marathon race and imagine if they turned up having never trained, having never practiced, or maybe they ran a couple of times and thought, well, that'll do, and they entered the race. Well, how many of you understand that they wouldn't run very well? You see, you and I need to be Christians that exercise ourselves in holiness. It does take effort. It does take time. In the power of the Spirit of God, we can run well. We can get back up, but we need to be patient with the Lord and allow Him to work in our lives. It'll take effort. And notice also, it is essential. The Bible says at the end of verse number 14, without which no man shall see the Lord. No man shall see the Lord. Now, this is written to believers, remember, Hebrews chapter 12. And the context and application is that if you and I are not pursuing that path, if you and I are not walking the path of holiness, we cannot see the Lord. We cannot have a close relationship with Jesus Christ. Our vision will be blurred. Our perspective will be distorted. And we will continue to fall in the Christian race. See, without this important truth in our life, we cannot see the Lord. And we have to keep our eyes on the Lord in order that we may run the race that is set before us. So let me encourage you first of all this morning that the Lord has a path for us to run on. Last week we looked at clearing some obstacles from that path, but this morning we're looking at the path itself. It's a path of holiness. It's a path of Christ-likeness. Being more like Jesus Christ. We are sanctified throughout our life. God's school of faith. The moment you get saved, you get put into a new school. Whether you like it or not, you're in a new school. It's not like the old school we used to go to. Amen. It's a brand new school, and the Lord is the principal. He is our teacher. He is our God. He is our guide. And He will do His work in us whether we like it or not. And the only way we can enjoy the school of faith and our time in it and graduate with a good report is to understand what God is doing. And not to forget that when He steps into our lives and He says, all right, there's a problem here and I'm going to deal with you about it, that is for our good. That is for our good and for God's glory. The chastening of the Lord. You know, I remember a family who was going through a trial, a difficulty, and they were discouraged. They were tempted to give up. And I remember that particular pastor that they were under spoke to them and reminded them about the chastening of the Lord, and they became offended. And they said, are you accusing us that there's sin in our life? And they left the church. Why? Because they had forgotten the exhortation that speaketh unto you as unto sons. God will chasten us. Whether it's because of a specific sin that's committed, or whether because He's just dealing with us in our lives. And we need to remember, it's so important as Christians to remember. So many have dropped out of the race because they don't understand God's workings. They don't understand how God works. Sometimes We even blame the devil and say, oh, the devil's brought this into my life. Well, how do we know it's the devil? Maybe sometimes God says, no, I need to deal with you about this problem. And if you allow me to deal with you, you can run well. The path of holiness, that is the straight path that we are called to run on. The path of holiness. Notice next in your notes some obstacles. We're going to look at a few obstacles this morning on that path to holiness, and we're going to deal with some obstacles that we need to remove from our lives. Some obstacles. So your second blank is the word obstacles. You'll find the blanks at the bottom of your notes. Of course, if you miss any, some obstacles to holiness. Some obstacles to holiness. Well, notice there in your notes, Exodus chapter 9 and verse 27. The Bible says of Pharaoh and Moses, and Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Now that sounds like an impressive statement from Pharaoh. We've been learning about Moses recently from Hebrews chapter 11, and we've seen that judgment after judgment after judgment, Pharaoh's kingdom was brought down to the ground. God was humbling the king. He was humbling God's people. He was showing his power forth in the nation of Egypt. And here we see in your notes an admission of guilt from Pharaoh. He said, the Lord is righteous and my people are wicked. Now hang on a second. Does that mean that Pharaoh genuinely repented? What do you think? No. Well, we know the outcome. That's why we know, because Pharaoh continued to harden his heart. He continued to harden his heart, and we'll look more about that later. But the reality is Pharaoh did not change. There was no true repentance. What was this statement all about? Well, as the judgments came upon Pharaoh and the nation of Egypt, Pharaoh was repentant, not towards God, but because of what was happening to him. Does that make sense? He didn't want any more plagues. He did not want any more bad things to happen. His repentance was not towards God. He was just sorrowing over the mess he was in. It wasn't godly sorrow that brings a true sinner to repentance. He was sorrowing over the mess he was in. He didn't want any more trouble. He didn't want any more problems. So he just cried out and said, I've sinned this time. No, he sinned the previous times too. He did not see his sin as a sin against God. And there in your notes, we're going to address one obstacle on that path of holiness, a selfish attitude about sin. A selfish attitude about sin. That's your next blank. And I'm not sure if I've put these minor blanks in your notes at the bottom. A selfish attitude about sin. See, without realizing it, so often you and I don't see sin as God sees it. When something bad happens to us, so often we cry out and we say, oh, Lord, forgive me. But really we're saying to the Lord, Lord, I don't want this anymore. That's why I'm crying out. Lord, I feel bad about what my sin has done to me. And that's not repentance, friends. That is the sorrow of the world, as the Bible says. It does not bring us to repentance towards God. It brings us to repentance toward ourselves. Now, so many people come to church because their lives are in a mess. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they're repentant towards God, that they're sorry towards sinning against God. They're just worried that things will become worse in their own lives. And unless a person sees their sins against God, they're in big trouble. Notice Psalm 51 and verse 4, the contrast between Pharaoh and David. Notice what David said in Psalm 51. He said, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. You see, David saw his sins as an offense to God. It wasn't that he was trying to get out of the consequences of sin. No, he was brokenhearted that he had broken the heart of God. He was brokenhearted and he had godly sorrow that he had sinned against the God who loved him. You see, that's what godly sorrow is. And so often we have a selfish attitude about sin. We won't address it unless it's a benefit to us. We won't deal with our sins unless it harms us. So until we are harmed by our own sin, we enjoy it. And that's not God's will. That we can never walk the path of holiness until we see our sins as an offense to God. Now, does that make sense this morning? See, until we do, we won't deal with it. We won't deal with our sins. We'll be selfish. We'll say, well, it's not so bad. You know, it's not such a big deal. But until we see that our sin is not about us, it is about the Lord, we cannot come to God for cleansing as a Christian. We cannot come to God in true repentance. That is the continual heart of a Christian, living the Christian life, seeking to walk the path of holiness. You know, saying sorry to the Lord for our sins is not because it's hurt you and I. You know, that's so often what we do. We need to be careful about a selfish attitude towards sin. We need to understand that our sins are against God. All right, let's go on to the next roadblock. Well, a lazy attitude about sin. A lazy attitude about sin. Point number B in your notes. Sometimes we are selfish about our sins. Sometimes we are lazy about our sins. Notice Romans 6, verse 13. The Bible says, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments to unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Notice Romans chapter 6 tells us two things. We are either giving into sin or we are giving into God. It's either one or the other. There is no middle ground. Either yield your members, do not yield your members unto unrighteousness, to sin, but yield your members unto God. Righteousness unto God. It's either one or the other. Now, the problem is, many times we are lazy and we don't want to deal with those obstacles along the path of holiness. We don't want to address those sins. We don't want to see them as God sees them. And so we get lazy and we think, well, they're not such a big problem. And yet they are the very stumbling blocks that cause us to trip over. Last week we looked at relationships, but there are many other issues in your life and mine that God is dealing with. Would you agree? And when the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of God, the person of God who dwells within us to make us more holy, shows us that stumbling block, God wants us to deal with it. And thank God He shows us what He wants us to deal with before He often chastens us about that area. He says, sometimes in the preaching of the Word of God, sometimes in our quiet time, God will show us in His Word, there's the stumbling block. I want you to deal with it. And then in His love, He chastens us because He doesn't want us to fall. But so often we are lazy. We're lazy. We think it's okay. We think we won't get hurt. We think the fall won't be too bad. We can run. We'll be okay. But we're not addressing those stumbling blocks of sin. Sometimes we think that miraculously we will become holy. God will do it. I don't need to do anything. Is that true? Well, God says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Be holy. There's something we need to do. And I've used this illustration before. Imagine a farmer going out to his field hoping to reap a harvest. Now, only God can do the miraculous. Would you agree? The farmer cannot bring the rain. Only God can do that. The farmer cannot germinate the seed. Only God can miraculously cause a plant to go. Grow. Only God can bring the sun out to give those plants nutrients in order to grow. But God will not do what the farmer must do. The farmer needs to go out into his field and plow the field in preparation for the seed. The farmer needs to go out and put those seeds into the ground. The farmer needs to go out and fertilize those seeds planted. So in a way, likewise regarding the path of holiness, we are in a partnership with God. Yes, the Holy Spirit lives within us. He will do His miraculous work. to enable us to walk a path of holiness. Without God, we cannot. But that doesn't mean God will force us to walk that path. You see, there are some choices we need to make. There are some sins we need to deal with. We are in a partnership with God. And don't mistake what I'm saying. It's by His power alone that we can walk the path. But we need to be careful, not just to sit back and say, well, He'll just change me. I don't need to change. He'll do it. And I can just sit here and allow those problems, those sin problems in my life to stay there unaddressed. Let me encourage you, church family, don't be lazy about your sin. And God shows you it's important. And God says this is an issue, we need to listen. God will do the miraculous to give us the strength to say no to sin. But what is our responsibility? Our responsibility, summed up in one word, obedience. Obedience. God does the miraculous when we obey. Obedience, power. When we obey by faith, then He will enable us to remove those obstacles, to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily cause us to fall over and trip up. Amen. The sin which so easily besets us, they need to be dealt with, removed. A lazy attitude. Don't be lazy. Amen. Either we're yielding to sin or we're yielding to righteousness. Now, by the way, if you think you can't yield to righteousness, you're wrong. A wonderful preacher, I remember, he once said this, look, we are professionals at yielding. We are experts at yielding. Why? Because we all, for our life before we were saved, we were habitual yielders to unrighteousness, to the former lusts in our ignorance. We continually yielded to those sins again and again and again and again. Now that we are saved, all God expects is for us to yield, but now to Him. We are to not give in to sin, we are to give in to God. We are to obey Him in the same way as we obeyed the sinful nature, the flesh. You know how to yield. You've been doing it for years. You've been doing it for years. You are an expert in yielding, but don't yield to sin. Yield to God. Isn't that comforting? But it's not that complicated. And He will give us the miraculous power to walk this path of holiness. He would never ask us to if it was not possible. And I'm encouraged that if I simply obey and say, yes, Lord, I'll yield to You, though I may not understand, though it may not feel good, but yes, I know it's a sin. But as I yield to God, He will remove that obstacle and help us to run along that path. All right, lastly, a tolerant attitude. A tolerant attitude. Sometimes we're selfish, sometimes we're lazy, sometimes we're tolerant towards our sin. Notice Galatians 6:8 in closing. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And there's the farming illustration once again, the picture of a farmer. Whatever we sow into the ground, we need to expect that's what we'll reap a harvest of. If we sow sin into our lives, we are going to reap a harvest of consequences. If we sow righteousness into our lives, we will reap a harvest of blessing. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And we can't afford to be tolerant about the seeds of sin that we continually sow in our lives. Sometimes they're sins that you and I don't even think about. When we think of sin, sometimes we think of murder, and maybe hitting someone, or you know, domestic violence, or you know, gross outward sins, addictions, and outward addictions. But what about the sins of the heart? The Lord said, "If you lust after any woman in your heart, men, you've committed adultery already within your heart." You've already committed the act of adultery. When you get angry, when you're angry with another, you've committed the act of murder already in your heart. The sins of the heart. Bitterness. Laziness. Unbelief. As we looked at this wonderful theme of faith, and as we've realized how often you and I live in unbelief, But the convicting truth is that unbelief is a sin. Unbelief is calling God a liar. And if we refuse to trust in the promises of His Word, we call God a liar. We say, no, that's not true. I don't believe you. That's a sin. So we can't afford to be tolerant about our sins, because whatsoever we sow, that shall we also reap. We sow sin, we will reap the consequences. And tolerance in one area, would you agree, leads to tolerance in another area. Tolerance in one area makes us vulnerable to sin in another area. And we end up putting more stumbling blocks along the path that God has set for us to run. So let me encourage you, as we've seen the path that God wants us to run on, understand that it is a path of holiness. Yes, this is the school of faith, a lifelong race. Yes, it'll take time, but there is some work to be done. He will perform, as Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 says, For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. He is working in you already. But will you partner with the Lord? Amen? Will you obey Him? Will you yield to Him? He will do the miraculous, but will you allow Him to deal with those sin issues? Now, God's course is all designed to help us to become like who? The Lord Jesus Christ, that we might be partakers of His holiness. He is training us, He is chastening us, but we must make a choice to follow the right path, the straight path for our feet. Now, if you do, you will run well, and God promises you will win the prize. Amen? You will win the prize. So let me encourage you. The path that we are to run is a path of holiness. Be encouraged. God will give you the strength. He will do the impossible. But He will not do what we must do. Amen? He will not force us to walk that path. But He will work in our lives to strengthen us and teach us to walk that path.